What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
When you download the Kroger app, you have easy access to savings every day. Get the most out of weekly sales and receive personalized coupons toward your favorite items, all while earning one fuel point for every dollar spent. Because shopping at Kroger, whether in-store or online, is easy. And saving money is even easier with the Kroger app. So get the most value out of every trip, every time. Download the Kroger app now to save big. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Must have a digital account to redeem offers. Restrictions may apply. See site for details.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Are we going to talk about the fact that Ken bombed?
Who?
The movie
Ken. Oh, man, Ken bombed?
Yeah, man.
Were there trailers really for it?
Were there trailers? I mean, we saw them. We talked about them on the podcast, so there were trailers, but nobody went.
I knew about it from you guys first. Before I saw a trailer, I knew about it from y'all.
There were a lot of movies that bombed in September, though. It wasn't just Ken.
What else came out?
There was a movie, and I did not see a trailer for this, but there was a movie called Axel, like AXL.
Oh, about a dog or something?
About like a metal dog. And then there was
I remember that.
Then there was a movie called Alpha, which was about
The bond, the beginning relationship between man and dog. Right. I remember that trailer too.
All right, well that's
so there are two movies about great. Dogs. Yeah, Ken. So far, Ken's made $6 million worldwide.
Wow. Well, in good news, Crazy Rich Asians, I think, may become the second highest grossing rom-com of all time. So,
of all time?
Yeah, of all time?
It's something else that's done better than them because of inflation.
I would imagine when Harry met, I mean, not just inflation, I think regular. Harry met Sally.
Wait, I'm going to go to Crazy Rich Asians records. Someone just listed like all the records they've broken so far.
Oh, okay. Wait, actually, look, when Harry met Sally made $92 million. That's less. Not counting for inflation, of course.
Let's see. Crazy Rich Asian becomes the most successful studio rom-com at the box office in 9 years.
Oh, in 9 years.
It is...
I mean, that's good, but...
What is it?
Let's not say all time. I mean, because you know what? Hitch, $179 million. We talking about Will Smith, baby!
I mean, that's a lot of money,
just in case anybody is wondering, we love Will Smith.
No, that's...
We do love Will Smith.
You said that's too much money?
I love Will Smith, but that's too much money. That's just too much money for
a rom-com to make. $368 million worldwide.
Wow.
But its production budget was $70 million.
How? Where? Have we done Hitch?
What do you mean where? Will Smith is...
So the budget just went to Will Smith?
Oh, but it's ranked number
three.
It's ranked number three.
He's a third of that money.
Holy crap. My Big Fat Greek Wedding, $241 million. Wow. And that joint only cost...
Domestic or worldwide?
Domestic. Worldwide, $368 million.
Wow.
And it only cost $5 million to make.
Wow.
Hell yeah.
What's number one? Does it say what number one is?
That is number one.
That's number one? What's number two?
Number two is What Women Want.
With Mel Gibson?
With Mel Gibson.
Hey, man, I like that movie. I mean, I'm a little mad at the remake because...
mad at the remake?
I mean, because the remakes... I mean, some people might have went in two or three times for that remake. I mean, whatever. Oh, like, no one's holding a grudge, John. Like, ain't nobody mad. You know what I'm saying?
That's a movie we're going to review. I can't wait to review
Oh, are we going
to
review that one, John?
Of course.
Oh,
I mean, we're definitely going to review it.
Okay, all right, cool. Yeah, that's fine. Whatever. Like, we can whatever. Ain't nobody... It's fine. It's whatever, dude. It's cool.
I mean, we got to review that.
All right, it's cool. Like, ain't nobody mad, John.
I got to say, it doesn't sound like you're cool about this at all.
Bro, ain't nobody mad. Ain't nobody mad.
No, it sounds like you are mad. Nobody, I didn't.
I'm going to support Taraji. You know what I'm saying? Phoebe Robinson is in it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's exactly.
Cool. Yeah, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Some white dude who plays her assistant, but, you know, of course, whatever.
Sorry, man.
No, be, you know, we cool, bro. We cool. What you saying?
I'm not saying anything.
That's cool, bro.
I'm keep saying it's
I wasn't cool. saying anything either.
No, I see what y'all won't bring it up since y'all want to talk about it or whatever.
Well,
since
no,
y'all wanna,
you just asked what number two was. I just said what women want.
And they got a new one called What Men Want. You
right,
know what
and
I'm
then
saying?
You start talking about how they didn't.
No, I'm saying, I'm like, Taraji, of course, is in a movie. Yeah. And it's like, why would she have a black male assistant? Like, of course it should be a white dude, because that makes sense. You know what I'm saying?
No,
it makes sense. You know, so it's
I mean, it is kind of funny.
Yeah, it's hilarious. You know what I mean? So, comedy gold. Comedy
gold. It's also like a famous dude who's...
All right, yeah, John. So, yeah, man, he may be on like some shows. You know what I'm saying? He may be on like an HBO show or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
he's on Silicon Valley.
Like, oh, so now we throwing out resumes, John?
Well, no, I'm just saying...
Oh, now we throwing out... Okay.
Well, because wasn't he also on Mark Maron's show for
Okay. Okay. So now...
All right, I guess I'll just Google who it is because I don't know who it is.
You know what? I don't need this.
Well, I mean, we don't. It's his name is Big Head. I mean, at least that's what his name is on the show.
Oh, you talking about Silicon Valley? You know the show. Silicon Valley. All right, whatever, man. Shoot, you over here trying to?
That's his name on the show.
That's cool. That's cool. He got a nickname. I got nicknames. You know what I'm saying?
You do?
I got tons of nicknames, bro.
Like what?
I mean, I ain't gotta say them right. I ain't gotta prove my nicknames on the show right now. I mean, sure. What Men Want is going to be a great movie. You know what I'm saying?
Actually, I don't think he's in. Wait, is he in this?
Yeah, he's on. Like, he's the assistant. Like, he's in the trailer. He's all over the trailer.
He is in the trailer.
Who is it? I still don't know who it is.
I haven't watched that show in such a long time. Why are we talking about this?
Valley?
Why are we talking about him? I'm talking about Taraji or
no,
Phoebe.
No, we're not talking about him.
You know?
Yeah. We were starting to talk about Ken. His name is Josh Brenner. But, I mean, we're not talking about him. But, yeah.
He just got.
Oh, okay. Out. All right. Thank you. I just wanted to know who it was so I could.
Right. But according to IMDb,
my peace
he's
of mind.
Not in it. But
I mean, he's definitely in the trailer.
I swear I saw him in the trailer. Too.
He got glasses. He's
I don't know why he's not in it on IMDb, though. That's weird.
Did you see someone who looked like him?
No, but according to IMDb, Pete Davidson is in the movie.
He plays the valet. I think.
Oh, okay. So that's a different thing.
Yeah,
I think I've seen him in the trailers, but I don't remember.
Yeah, he was like a valet guy. well, I mean, like, it's whatever, dude. You know what I'm saying? Like,
all right, dude. Just, I hope, yeah.
No, we're going to review it. It's cool. We can review it. It's fine. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can review movies, you know?
The amount of time we've spent talking about this is crazy.
What you mean? We can review movies, man. I'm in it. Let's do it. What we can do?
I know, but the thing is, Gerard's acting really weird. He's in the studio. He's like threatening. He's actually walking back and forth.
Hey, man, don't worry about what
in
I'm
his
doing.
Hand. He's got a blade too.
Hey, excuse me.
Did you just say he's taking out a blade too? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
No, what he said was
his hand.
In
his,
hand,
he
has
he's got a
blade
too.
Why'd you use me in that? Like, I'm sitting down. I tried
well,
to go along with
feared
it.
Feared a
second.
Little bit for your safety.
There is no blade.
That was pretty good.
No. First off, that's not good because it was a lie. Like I tried to encourage it because I'm a yes ander.
No,
you know,
but
I'm a team player.
I guess I was worried that maybe you would take out a blade too.
But I'm sitting. You're closer to the drawers.
Okay,
than
I'm just making sure at home you don't, you know, go in your cabinet, open it up, and then remove a blade.
Don't say it again. No.
This is the most offensive cold open I've ever.
Yeah, done. Like why would I go get a? You know what? Let's just start the show.
Jonathan Raylock,
James III,
Gerard Milligan.
What more can I say?
You know what it is?
Black men can jump.
Black actors, man.
Black actors.
All right. All right. All right. All right. All right.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood, sit it.
I against I, flesh of my flesh, and by the by. Two of a kind, but one won't survive. My image is reflected in the enemy's eye, and its enemy is reflected by the same time.
Man. I was obsessed. I was obsessed with that song.
That song was great. Honestly, James, your bits are getting better, man. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you. I'm I'm working on them.
Yeah, man, not bad, not bad.
The soundtrack to this movie was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was. It was very like techno, but hip hop. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it had more hip hop than the last. The last one was, I feel like,
straight up techno,
just straight techno. Yeah. And this one was a little bit more.
Yeah, man,
hip hop infused.
Yeah, this was good.
Oh, right. My name is Jonathan Braylock.
You forgot how to show.
Yeah,
starts?
No, I totally forgot how to show. Starts. How to show. But wow. But that is my name. My name is Jonathan Braylock.
Yeah, good to know. Okay. I'm Jerrod Milligan.
And my name is James the Third.
I don't know why that gives me like a shiver. I was watching this thing with people who listen to audio of people whispering.
Oh, that was on Netflix.
Yeah, yeah. And I was
like, they just started auto playing that trailer, and I was like, ah!
It freaks me out.
It freaks me out too, which is funny because clearly for some people it's really calming and like they like
it's
it.
Very soothing.
It's very soothing.
It's very soothing.
But for me, I hate
it. It gives me the willies.
I don't like when people talk that softly on a microphone.
Maybe that's the reason why every time I see James, I hesitate to say, like, do I want to say hi? Because I'm scared he's going to whisper talk to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he never does this
why
in real life.
Why would I do that? Yeah, why would I do that in real life?
Because I don't know why you would do it on the podcast, but
you could do it.
Nope. It's too late now. I've already started and now I can never stop.
That's not
that's how I operate.
Okay, well, you could do it in real life. I don't understand what
go about your daily life.
Yeah, I don't know why you have to whisper.
Now, for those of you who don't know,
they don't know.
Yeah, there are people who out here who don't know.
Shit, get
I know.
It.
I'm gonna catch them up.
Get them up there.
So for those of you who don't know, we are a podcast. We are a film review podcast. We review films of leading black actors. We talk about them in the context of race and diversity.
Damn.
In Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
I don't know if you've heard.
What?
But Hollywood sometimes underrepresents.
Oh, but John, but hold on. People keep saying Hollywood's doing better. Hollywood's doing better.
Well, they are.
I mean, they're doing a little bit better. Okay. Right? I mean, let's be real. Like, just because we got two or three movies, it ain't great.
Okay, I'm not saying it's great, but
I mean, we ain't even doing good. You know what that is?
Okay.
That's like going to a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And be like, hey man, oh man, I love the biscuits at Red Lobster.
Popeyes.
Oh, okay. Popeyes. You know what I'm saying? I don't call Popeyes a restaurant. I call that just like a takeout place.
Red Lobster restaurant?
I mean, yeah, man. They got
a restaurant.
Got,
all
right. All right, fine. What, my point?
It classifies.
My point.
It classifies.
Damn it, y'all. I was making a point. My point was, you go to the restaurant and it's like, hey, I love these biscuits. Can I get a couple extra biscuits? And they're like, yeah, hey, take three more because they free. You should get those biscuits anyway. We should be getting these movies no matter what.
Mm.
We ain't paying for nothing extra. We paying for a period. Give me the damn biscuits, bro.
That's true.
I want the biscuits. You ain't doing that extra by giving me the biscuits.
Movies are like biscuits.
Yep, movies are like biscuits. There you go, James. Movies are like biscuits. Cheddar butter biscuits. And all should get cheddar butter biscuits.
Personally, I've lost the analogy, but I'm going to trust that it resonated
because
with somebody
in
the audience.
My point is everybody loves and deserves cheddar butter biscuits.
Right.
And you shouldn't feel special because you got cheddar butter biscuits.
I guess.
You went to the restaurant and it comes with the meal.
Sure.
You know what? It's not the people at home, do you get what I'm saying?
Hey, somebody gets it. Now, for those of you who don't, welcome. My name is Jonathan Braylock. You're on my side for the rest of this time. No, I'm just kidding.
I've lost everyone. You're right. I've lost myself.
Today, we are concluding our little mini-series, our Wesley Snipes mini-series. I know some people are like, but y'all ain't do this Wesley Snipes movie and this Wesley... I know. That's why we called it a mini-series. You know, the fact of the matter is, we already reviewed a lot of Wesley Snipes movies.
The shade.
We did three more.
Ooh.
And eventually, we'll get to the ones that you love.
True.
But
you're shading like a fictional person.
No, person I'm shading... They know.
They know.
They're already tweeting at me right
they
now.
Know.
Yo, they know.
Yeah, they know.
They know.
Oh, they know.
Okay. They listen to this podcast right now on the toilet.
Yeah. They in their car, they're just turning it off. They're at work, unplugging the headphones.
They're looking at their board.
We just lost three more.
Just lost a listener.
Okay,
we just lost. Yep, true.
Now, this is the end of our Wesley Snipes miniseries. We're ending with his most successful film at the box office.
Yep. How much did it make? $155 million.
$155 million worldwide. I believe $80 million of that is the domestic.
Yep.
How much does the movie cost?
Only cost $54 million.
$54 million.
That's pretty good.
All right, not bad.
That's pretty good.
Now,
yeah, that's pretty good.
It's actually the thing is, the studio released this movie in March.
Yep, March 22nd.
And in those days, now in today, March, it's like there is a calendar all year round. They're dumping blockbuster movies in February. It's like there is no bad month necessarily.
January is still shitty.
January is still pretty bad. September is still considered like not so great. But March back then was like, oh, this movie is probably terrible because the studio doesn't like it. Mm-hmm. And they're just throwing it in March and, you know. But it did really well. And even critically, it was like, it wasn't great. I think it has 57% of Rotten Tomatoes now. But I think at the time, it was a little bit more mixed. Mm-hmm. And Roger Ebert gave it 3.5 out of 4 stars.
Hey, you know, I just would like to know, let people know that John has just dropped some facts. I just dropped some facts. For everybody who says, we don't fact check our shit. We got the laptop open right now. This is for the fictional person.
The thing is, they're not wrong.
Hey, what are you doing, John?
No, we do some fact checking.
No, we don't fact check anything.
Oh God! What are you two doing?
If I ever fact check, it's usually in the middle of the podcast, and it's about a small side tangent that I went.
Hey, you know what? Y'all don't get no biscuits. No cheddar butter biscuits for neither one of
y'all. Gotta let this go.
No cheddar butter biscuits for Jonathan Braylock or James III.
Now,
no biscuits.
This movie was directed by Guillermo del Toro.
Yes. Whew. One of his first studio films.
Oh.
I love, he is such a good director, man.
So was Mimic not considered a studio film?
I mean, it was New Line. What is New Line Cinema considered?
New Line is a studio.
Is it like a big studio? I mean, because this is technically New Line as well.
New Line
is a studio.
It was the studio that did a lot of black films and horror films.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Okay.
But it was still a studio. And still is.
It's around.
I'm sure another larger company bought it because that's usually
what happens.
It's a lot of consolidation going on. We live in America. It's a big capitalistic country. This isn't a political podcast.
But the big thing, nope, not political at all. But the big thing about this movie, though, is that this movie is actually produced by what was then a very small production company called Marvel Studios.
That's right.
And this is, this movie, not necessarily Blade 2, but Blade 1, which one of the first ones produced by Marvel Studios, was before X-Men and before Spider-Man 2. So.
Yes. X-Men came out in 2000.
Yep.
Spider-Man in 2001.
Yep.
Blade 2 came out in 2002.
Yep.
Now, other thing about Blade 2 is they brought back Chris Christopherson, who's in Blade 1, even though he died. We'll talk about that. They didn't bring back any of the women from Blade. They didn't bring back. Now, Sanaa Lathan died in that, but so did Chris Christopherson. Who was the other woman?
Nebush Wright. Sanaa Lathan wasn't the lead, right?
She wasn't the lead. She was his mom.
But she came back at the end.
She was the mom. Yeah, but the lead woman is who I was like, where is she?
Where was she?
They literally didn't even mention her.
Yeah, where was she? She was beautiful, man. And so talented.
Interesting. Hollywood erasing black women.
Ooh,
we haven't started yet. I'm sorry.
We're not political either, though.
Now, what else do I have to say? I think that's it, really. I mean, the other thing we can say is that this was Wesley Snipes' biggest box office success. Mm-hmm. There was a third Blade with Ryan Reynolds and...
come on, what are you doing?
What?
Why are you talking about
Jessica Biel.
Come on, what are we doing?
Blade Trinity.
Oh, that's when Blade started fighting Dracula.
Didn't do as well.
That's because Dracula was like a rock star. It was walking around the street in slow motion. My man had on no shirt, had a necklace, and a fur coat. Walking around in slow motion of rock music. I will never forget that.
He did a movie called The Art of War. That kind of was a huge bomb, like a really big bomb.
Why are we talking negative about Wesley Snipes right now, man?
I'm just saying, like...
Because we're just doing a... You know, we're just talking about his trajectory, what happened. Like, this was his biggest, but then what was the next thing?
Right, because he owned the 90s. The thing is, like, he owned the 90s, right? And then he starts off the 2000s. The first movie he does is The Art of War. Huge bomb. Then he does Blade 2. Really big success. So you're like, all right, so now he's got some pizzazz behind him. But then I'm looking at this. I'm looking at IMDb.
Didn't he do U.S. Marshals? What about, how did U.S. Marshals do? I love U.S. Marshals.
Wasn't that before this?
Was it?
Or no?
Yeah, U.S. Marshals in 1998.
Oh, that was 98?
Exactly. Like I said, he crushed the 90s. So the thing is, you have one bomb and you have one like pretty successful film. Now I see this thick movies, Undisputed, Zigzag, Liberty Stands Still.
Oh my God, Undisputed was such a fun movie. I know no one saw it because it was definitely a black movie. It was like him and Bing Rames fighting. He was like a boxer who went to prison.
That's right.
It was such, it is honestly, and they have tons of spinoffs to that movie now. I did Austria did DVD, but still got spinoffs.
He got another movie called Unstoppable. I'm trying to look who else is in this movie.
Come on, man. Brooklyn's Finest, baby. Expendables 3. Guess what the Expendables 3 character name is? Guess what it is? Dr. Death, baby. My man's character name is Dr. Death.
First of all, you can't count Expendables 3. What I'm saying is what happened. He was the lead of many, many films. Well, he did really great films.
Well, he did go to prison.
Yes, he did go to prison.
Which
but that was late. I think that was later. You know, like you're talking about for tax evasion.
Yeah, yeah. Which also is like, I love that he went to prison, but not his accountant, but whatever. All right, don't get me started on man.
I won't get you started.
No, John. Don't get me started on the man, John.
No, I said I won't.
Okay, because I'm about, you know what? Because this is my thing.
There's a whole section in Wikipedia devoted to his tax conviction.
Well, my thing is, like, again, I understand Blade don't pay taxes. Well, someone should have told Blade to pay taxes. Actually, you know what? It's probably Blade's fault. Never mind. That's, got to pay taxes, man.
Okay, so it was 2006. And then, 2008 was when he was finally sentenced.
Damn. Yeah.
Yeah, but what happened? I don't know.
Well, he is going to be in the new Netflix and Eddie Murphy movie, Dolomite Is My Name, as one of the leads. So I think that's going to do very well. I think it's going to be a super dope movie. They're filming it right now.
Right. But isn't it so weird that somebody who was so prolific in the 90s just immediately goes away? And like,
no,
Blade 2 did well, like Blade 3 didn't, and that was his last like really big movie and that he was the lead of.
John, can I ask you a question? Can I ask you and James a question?
Yeah.
Do you think, and this is straight up, do you think a person of color, a black man, has the chance to fail and come back? Like, do you think we get a second chance in movies? Like, for instance, if you want to talk about bombs, like I like to bring up two characters, one young, I mean, not two characters, two actors, one young, one old. Robert Downey Jr. Robert Downey Jr. had a famous like stint of drugs and like issues, like so much so that he wasn't insurable on movies.
Right.
Dislocated Halle Berry's shoulder, woke up in his neighbor's baby like child's bed. Still, the studio took a risk, let him be Iron Man, and now we know the history of it, right? Armie Hammer, another actor who has made like bombs. I mean, literally one of the biggest bombs in the history of the like history of entertainment is The Lone Ranger.
Mm-hmm.
But he has now been in Oscar level movies. It's almost like that shit didn't happen. Do you think a black person can do any of that? I mean, think about what's happening with Will Smith, man. Like, I understand he's Will Smith, but like Will Smith, I mean, look at what, it's like Will Smith after 7 Pounds, people kind of like wrote him off for a little bit. You know what I mean? And technically, I guess he was in Suicide Squad, but he got credit. But also a lot of the love went to the white woman in that. I know her name. I'm forgetting it right now. But do you think we get the shot?
I mean, this is a really hard question, I think, because like I definitely think that Will Smith will get continues to get chances, and I would say that I would think that other people that are bigger would get chances, but Armie Hammer, like his level, I don't even know his history. I feel like he doesn't really interest me all that much, and so I don't even know where he came from or why he gets the number of chances that he gets. That's just my personal opinion about him.
Right.
But do you think a black man can get a second chance?
We've definitely seen a lot of black actors not get second chances. Like, we've seen a lot of actors who had pretty promising starts to their careers, like, go away pretty quickly, like Eddie Griffin or Orlando mm-hmm. Jones or, I mean, Cuba Gooding Jr., the yeah. first thing that we did, like, but I don't
look
know.
At Halle Berry. I mean, to me, it's like, what? It's interesting to me because I'm like, again, if you want to talk about young black women,
but then it's like, it's so hard too, though, because with a couple of the people that we just named, I think Halle Berry is one of them, and Cuba Gooding Jr. is another. Like, we also know that they're very delicate with the projects that they choose,
right?
But they've worked.
Now, but then that being said, I don't know that like any old black actor is just going to get these kinds of chances to be like immediately in the spotlight to do a to lead a movie very early on and then get a second chance of doing that again after that movie bombing. No, I don't think so. But these names that we're saying, it's like when we go into the weeds, it's like, oh yeah, but they could have done X, Y, and Z and they didn't. Or like, you know, I think with Halle, it was like, didn't she like just start picking specific projects that like was more interesting to her? Or am I misinterpreting
her? I mean, like, yeah, you still can do the artsy films, which I think every actor wants to do, but it's also like, nobody was knocking on her door to do studio pictures, for real. I mean, I know she's talked about that, and I'm assuming after Blade Trinity, people weren't coming after like Wesley to say, hey man, we got another studio action movie for you.
He hasn't gotten
to do the resurrection that Sylvester Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, even these guys aren't like doing, really old now, but like,
yeah, but I mean,
but yeah, you're right. Like Liam Neeson, like there are a lot of the, like Bruce Willis, there are a lot of these like, I mean, older action heroes that were actually doing, they were actually 80s action stars.
I mean, we can take it even to, and I'm gonna be real, like, we can even take it to Jamie Foxx, who I love. Like, Jamie Foxx had a string of movies that didn't hit, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And even now, he has Robin Hood coming out, but he's playing second fiddle to the dude from The Kingsman. You know, like, his next leading movie, I mean, I have to look at his IMDb, but like right now, and it's no diss, but right now he's hosting a game show on Fox, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He's Jamie freaking Foxx, you know what mm-hmm, I mean? Mm-hmm. To me, it's just interesting where it's like, what? I personally don't think Wesley would get a second chance because I think every move we have has to hit, you know what I mean? I think it's gotta be good, or you have to be at a position where you can write and do it for yourself, because I don't think studios are coming for you, because everyone keeps talking about this big diversity boom, and again, and maybe this is the bitterness of my life, but I can tell you as a person on the come up, like, most of the roles I haven't gotten have went to white dudes. So we get to audition for them, and yeah, mm-hmm. if you maybe Michael B., you can do it yourself, or like if you've been around since you were a kid, but like these movies are still going to white dudes. Like, it's just what it is. So it's just tricky seeing, like, even Eddie, dude. Like, even Eddie Murphy is freaking Eddie Murphy, and it's interesting, after Dreamgirls, you would have thought he would have got all these Oscar-type movies, but my man got played because he did Norbert. They call it the Norbert effect. You know what I'm saying? They played my man, but also we're forgetting that, like, it's crazy, like, the Norbert effect happened to him, but you look at Sandra Bullock, who did All About Steve in the same year, got a Razzie nomination, but then still wore her an Oscar. She still got her Oscar. No one gave a shit. You know what I mean?
Wait, who?
Sandra Bullock. All About Steve, which is now, the reason I watched it recently because it's on TV, All About Steve and Blindside came out in the same like period.
Oh, interesting.
She got nominated for a Razzie for All About Steve and then clearly won her Oscar, and no one said the Norbert effect for her. But Eddie was shunned because of his. It's like, come on, man. Like, what are we doing?
Right. Well,
yeah.
We should get into Blade 2.
Sure. Because I guess that's what we're doing here.
That's what we're doing now. So, first,
I'll go.
Is it first impressions?
I mean, yes. Yeah,
I forget our podcast.
Yeah. Sometimes. Are you drunk?
First impressions.
Yo, you and James.
First impressions is
there are
good.
Times
you
where
and James
I just
have been wild.
Straight up forget our podcast.
You and James have been wilding all day today. Yeah. First impressions.
All right.
I'll go. I used to own this movie on DVD because I love it so much. I like it because I think it's an actual, I think it's a really good sequel. I think it ups the ante of the first one. The budget isn't that much bigger from the first one. I love it because it really shows off that Wesley Snipes is a martial artist. He's been one his entire life. Guillermo del Toro is one of my favorite directors of all time because what he does, which is so good, if you watch Hellboy, if you watch Pan's Labyrinth, which we really should do. I don't know how you're going to do it, but we really should review Pan's Labyrinth. He and, you know, one of his visual effects artists, one of his actors, Doug Jones, they really do practical effects for the most part. Like, this movie definitely has, you know, CGI in it, but it's CGI on top of what's actually happening. So even when you see the main villain in it, for the most part, the main villain is literally that disgusting looking. They even found ways to do kind of the mouth open things for some effects. I love that this movie made $155 million. It's a black guy leading it and a Mexican guy who directed it. Like, I think that's super cool.
That is pretty cool.
And now even Guillermo del Toro, like, won his Oscar, which, you know, which is great. But I thought the action was on point. The story is whatever, but it's not the point. I also love that in the span of X-Men, Spider-Man, and Blade 2, there was a black dude leading a superhero movie who technically, I'm going to say it straight up, if you want to see the first successful movie out of Marvel Studios, it was a black dude leading it. It was Wesley freaking Snipes. Yeah. So you can bring up your goddamn Spider-Mans. You can bring up your X-Men. No, fuck that. Take that shit back a few years and think about the movie that helped them greenlight X-Men. It was Blade. It was a black dude in leather. Yeah. Like, it was. I mean, that's factual. Like, that is straight up factual, is that the movie that helped them greenlight those other movies was freaking, you know, like, yeah, whatever. Blade. So, and again, I think those movies aren't even Marvel Studio movies. So, like, yeah, one's Fox and one is Sony, but still. So I like this movie a lot.
James?
Yeah, this was, I think this is the first movie I illegally downloaded. just to take it back. Yeah, I'm a straight up thief. I need the world to just know. I can't hide it anymore. So I've seen it a couple of times, and I think I saw this before the first Blade, I want to say, but I cannot say for sure if that is true. The movie's really fun, but like watching it again, just a couple things stood out to me, and I can't remember if we talked about this on the first Blade. When he says in the cold open, when he's like announcing like his origin story, and he's like, so I have all of their powers and none of their weaknesses.
Right.
Except for the thirst. I was like, okay, is this, when he says I have all their powers and none of their weaknesses, I'm like, is this like he's just like one of the good ones? Is that what we're trying to do with Blade? And then he just felt blacker in the first movie for some reason. This is, again, a rewatch.
You thought he felt blacker everything in the first one?
Yeah, he felt black. I know that the music was different. We've already talked about the music being different. Mm-hmm. That's true, and I felt that. And it, but in retrospect, I'm like, is the music overcompensating for like his lack of blackness?
Oh wow! Like,
they're just not doing. There was just stuff that they were doing in the first movie. I think either cinematically or even just in the language and the way that he spoke. And it just felt like it was different this time. Everything, though, that Jarrah said about how cool he is and everything is all still very true. And also something that I thought was fun was, like, you know, seeing that early CGI of, like, you know, now it's sort of overdone and we have full CGI characters doing all the, you know, and then the second a superhero puts on their outfit, their CGI or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, like, it was cool seeing the way that they blend the two. I don't know, it's super, super fun. Totally get why this movie made so much money, and like, you know, like big ups to Wesley.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'll say I'm so interested to hear why you like this one better.
What are you doing?
No, this movie is good. I mean I like it, it's fun. But I definitely liked the first one more than the second one.
Oh, really?
And this was my first time seeing it. I had not seen it before. So take my thoughts with a grain of salt, because I am seeing it like dated. And like, I don't know why I never saw the second one. I just never did. I saw the third one, though. third one is not great.
Wow. That's the one I still haven't seen.
It's funny though. The third one's not great, but I loved Ryan Reynolds. Like,
because he was cracking jokes the entire time.
Yeah, yeah, and like, you know, like that was like peak Ryan. Well, actually, I guess he's achieved another peak.
Yeah.
Speaking of somebody
who got a second chance
at a
career. He bombed a $200 million movie.
Which movie was that? Oh, Green Lantern.
Green Lantern.
Yeah, holy crap.
Yeah, and now that... But did he bomb it, or was that movie just bad?
I
thought he was great in it.
He was the lead.
The movie just sucked.
Yeah, but he was the lead, and that's what we're talking about, is that Hollywood, for when it's a black actor who's the lead, they blame the actor. If it's the, you know, a white actor, then sometimes they'll just blame the movie.
You know what it is, to give people an example?
I think they blamed him, though, too, right? Didn't they?
He got a second chance.
It was him?
He got a second chance.
Yeah, but then he got to be Deadpool.
But you know what?
I mean, he is Deadpool.
It's one of those things that's kind of like, you know, if a person of color shooter does something bad, it's like all brown people or like all Muslims, all blacks are like that. But when a white dude does it, he's a lone wolf. I mean, we're not a political podcast. I'm not going to go into that.
No, right, of course. But yeah,
that's
so true that we're...
James,
it's so true that we're not a political podcast.
Yeah, no.
All right, continue.
Yeah, what are you saying, James?
What's up, folks? This podcast is sponsored by Earnin. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn could be in your hands today with Earnin. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day, or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Think about it. Say you're going out for a special date, or it's getting hot, y'all. You might need a fresh outfit for brunch or something nice, or maybe you just want to feel good and take yourself to dinner. Earnin can help you today. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind." Mm-hmm. Download Earnin today. That's spelled E-A-R-N-I-N in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Jump Under Podcast when you sign in. It'll help the show out. Jump Under Podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period. See earnin.com/DOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Priceline presents Go to Your Happy Price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else. Like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or 5-star hotels for 2-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hi, this is Will Arnett. We are inviting you to follow us as we go on tour and we take our podcast Smartless on the road. Join us and watch any boundaries we previously had disappear. Like you've never seen us before, you'll see us on the road ordering lunch, roasting each other, and on stage as we surprise each other with a mystery celebrity guest in each city. Boy, that sounds amazing.
Welcome to Smartless!
Don't miss our new series, Smartless on the Road, streaming May 23rd, only on Max. Subscription required.
So, you open Google Chrome on your phone, you're hunting for a super rare first edition vinyl of a band you're obsessed with, when you're supposed to be working. But this site you tapped on seems pretty shady. And Daryl from IT just jumped up from his desk. Oh no, he's coming your way. It's a good thing built-in malware protection keeps you safe and sound. Not from Daryl, though. Sorry. There's no place like Chrome. Download Google Chrome on your phone.
No, I actually, what I was going to say, I was like further derailing Bray's initial thoughts. So I'll wait.
All right. My thing is, here's the thing. Here's what I'll say. Cause I'll say this, the vampires, like the new vampires, super cool. Mm-hmm. Like the way that they're, mouths open, yeah. It was like sick, gross. Like I love that there was a crew like called the Blood Pack,
yeah,
like of vampires who were initially trained to hunt down Wesley, but now they have to like to hunt down Blade, and now they have to work with Blade. Love that. Love Ron Perlman. Like just thought he was like so such an awesome,
oh
like
my God,
foil.
He was so great.
And clearly, like you know, working with Guillermo was like, I got to work with this dude again.
Yeah.
Eventually becomes Hellboy. You know, loved all that. Like the action scenes were pretty good for the most part. The effects were like, you know, it's like it's the 2002 effects, but like they weren't like super overdone where I yeah. was hating it. It was like there was a lot of just good choreography and sword yeah. work and real like stunt work with the effects. But my only thing was one. And this happens with sequels, mm-hmm. so it's just like a thing where sometimes the origin story just feels more interesting because we get the origin story.
Yeah.
So we're like getting more about the character. And like in this movie, all like a lot of things I liked from the first movie, which was like the fact that he was wrestling with this, the thirst and, you know, the themes that come with that. They like touch on it in this movie with the woman character, the daughter,
yeah,
they like touch on it with her, like there's one scene where they talk about it, but for the most part it's like it's not an issue anymore.
What?
And it was
what's
a huge
issue
in the first movie.
What's not the issue anymore?
That he like thirsts for human blood and like he has to take these serums, and like in the first movie like he was taking the serums and then they were like not working too well and like they had to like do another thing or I don't know, like I forgot.
But the woman fixed it at the end though.
She did fix it, right?
Yeah.
But then my thing was like, where did she go? Like, yeah, I was so mad about that.
Yeah.
And then I was a little bit like, ugh, like, all right, one of those like cheap, like you just resurrected the person who died in the other movie just because you want him back in the sequel. Fine, whatever. I can. We're yeah. so used to that. Comic book movies do it all the time. Like we're so used to that. But I just actually felt there was not a. I wanted more Blade. Like I want it more.
Wow, really?
I want it.
He was
more
in every scene almost.
Move. I want it more. Acting scenes with Blade as opposed to just the action.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
I want it a little bit more like emotional. Like it just. I never bought into whatever fake romance that they were building with the daughter because it. Wasn't real. It wasn't really explored, and it didn't make any sense. It was one of those things where it just can't. It's fine. It's a 2002 movie. It's not fine, but it's a 2002 movie, and I get it. And it like came off just like, all right, of course you like made the woman a love interest, even though she's not.
Do you think she was? For some reason, I felt like I didn't feel a sexual tension. It felt more like
no. I agree. There was no sexual tension, but there was just moments in which like you know what's his name. What's the old guy's name?
Whistler.
Whistler. They're like Whistler's, like you know, like comments on like, oh, you guys are getting a little close, and like he like clearly at like there are certain moments in the movie where he's like, oh, he like cares about her, and I'm like, why?
Yeah. It felt more like it felt more like I think what it sucks, but what men usually do is like. Oh, it's a pretty woman. Let me just make sure she's okay.
Yeah, I have to protect the pretty woman.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what I mean. Yeah. Which
but,
is
and
good.
Also,
but
like,
there was another woman.
In thinking
too.
About the movie, true. They probably like wanted it to even seem even more like familial kind of thing, or like a like that's the connection that they were trying to explore in the movie,
right?
Like,
and they had a scene,
but then
they had a scene where she says like you. Deep down, you know you're just like us. You're just pretending not to be. Like, why do you hate us so much? And that was so interesting. And I really wanted them to explore that more. And they never quite did.
That's what you're saying,
That being said, I get it. And like, also, if I was a teenager, like if I had saw this in theaters and I was a teen, which I was when it came out, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have cared about any of that stuff. I would have just been like, no, I just want to see Blade like. kill a bunch of vampires, which is what this movie is. It's just like him killing a bunch of vampires. There's like no humans in this movie.
No.
They're like the humans are familiars.
Yeah, because the humans aren't the threats. The vampires.
Right.
Oh, well, the vampires are the ones needed saving.
It's a little bit of the thing. It's a little bit of the thing that I felt about the Matrix sequels, where there was a cool part in the Matrix where you didn't know about the Matrix, or you did, and then like there were humans interacting. They had to go into the Matrix and like do all these crazy things. But then once Neo becomes the one and he can just stop bullets, it like took out this whole element from the sequels that made it interesting. And then you're like, oh yeah, like this is what it would happen, but. You know, and then by the time the third movie comes out, they're like not even in the Matrix like at all. It's like mostly outside of the Matrix, and I'm like, this is not the same thing that I liked.
You're so John, I'm done with you.
Anyway, I'm not saying this isn't on that level. It's just, well, maybe it is a little bit Reloaded. I actually did enjoy Reloaded.
That's the second one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like it was just so much CGI.
No, it was so much CGI. And I think it came out the same year that this movie came out. There was a lot of CGI in that. Anyway,
I think I've said this before, but the biggest problem with the Matrix sequels is they just do slow motions for no reason. Whereas when they did it in the first movie, it was to show how fast they're moving. But then in the sequels, it was just like, and now slow motion for no reason.
Right. Just for us.
I hated it so much. Yeah. They did it every 10 minutes.
Yeah. Well, to get to this one, this movie starts off interesting because the movie starts off with the bad guy.
That's true. It starts off with the bad guy.
Which is interesting because the last Wesley movie we did, Passenger 57,
also starts off with the bad guy.
And because that's not the case for every action movie.
No. Though. And yeah. I think the reason that this happens is because Wesley is so awesome. He's such a badass that people are like, we gotta build up this villain to make it seem like they can stand a chance against.
Which I think the villain was good. I really do think
that's what it is. They're like, we gotta figure out a way to make sure that like it reads that this villain is a worthy opponent for Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, I mean it is interesting because this is one of the movies to me that the plot doesn't even matter because I mean we see the bad guy. I'm gonna skip from talking about the white guy to go to Wesley. Wesley the whole time for 2 years has been searching for like Whistler. And it's like Whistler died.
Right. It's like, it's the weirdest start to a movie. Because we're like, wait, he's been searching for Whistler? Like, do I not remember the first movie correctly?
No, you remember correctly. Whistler shoots himself.
And they finally show that clip in
this movie. And I'm like, wait a second.
Yeah, and we hear the gunshot. They wanted us to know, like, we know what happened.
They're like, no. Like, literally, they were like, no. Technically, in the movie, look, watch the clip. We didn't show him shoot himself. You just heard it, but he didn't actually.
But one of the vampires even justifies it in this first scene. Because basically, like, how these... It's so funny because in the first Blade, you know, Blade goes to the club. He finds the one dude he kind of tortures throughout the whole movie.
That club is... scene is one of the most iconic scenes in the film.
And he's just covered in blood. It's so lit. This one has the bad guy kind of doing the same thing. But again, Blade is like hunting down like these dudes, which I think is such a cool intro because, again, the thing about Guillermo del Toro, which is so cool, is that he does a lot of things with practical effects. So basically what he normally does is, which I think a lot of people do, there's another director who he's friends with, who I won't name drop. Basically, Guillermo del Toro does a thing which I think a lot of people should do when it's CGI, he doesn't make the camera do things that physically cannot be done in real life, which... The idea behind that is that your eye won't think it's fake because the camera can't do it. You know what I mean? So like when Blade is like chasing these dudes down, it's this cool shot of like Blade in this like hallway alleyway in this building, and like Blade moves and the camera like pulls back but then pushes into him, so it just looks very hyper. And it's like a random slow motion shot of Blade running past, and it just slows down for a second so you see how Blade is before he jumps out the window.
Right.
I like that. First off, every other dude has to slide down. They're all vampires. For some reason, the vampires slide down the ladder.
That was a weird thing to me. The one thing I didn't like was that because they took out humans in the movie, it made vampires seem really weak.
And it did.
Because I was just like, what? Like, this vampire, like, can't just jump from a, like, can't vampires have, don't they have super strength?
Makes no sense. The fact that they all,
what I didn't like about this sequence was how many bullets Blade was just straight wasting. Like, it was like, you don't need most of those bullets that you're using. I mean,
he
like,
was just, yeah.
The second they get hit by the silver, they started fully deteriorating.
Yeah. He was just
like, why are you shooting so many bullets?
Makes no sense.
He likes to.
But when he jumps out this window, and it's so funny you say that at that opening scene, because he's running out, he's shooting a bunch of bullets, but then when he jumps out the window, 3-point lands, he only shoots one bullet, right. Which slow motion, he kills a guy.
Right. Also, I'm sure this was in the first movie, but why do all the vampires have guns, and why do none of their guns have silver bullets?
Well, they don't shoot because usually they don't kill each other. They only kill humans.
And so do they have guns just because they're like, we could kill humans with our bare hands, but like we might as well
bite them, yeah.
Use the guns so to keep up the appearance that we are also human?
Oh, I never thought about that. I thought they would just like most of the time they had to kill somebody.
It just felt like so weird. Like so many times in this movie, vampires try to kill Blade or try to kill those like hybrid vampires with regular bullets. And I was like, these don't kill you. So why are you shooting at...
Hey, John, what are you doing right now?
No, I'm just... Okay. Jump.
No, that is a really big hole in the logic.
We are watching.
When the guy that he brings in is like, it's not silver, but it hurts so bad. I'm like, why are they wasting bullets? Like, why is everybody wasting bullets?
Y'all think that's
in this movie?
Blade is a half vampire, right. Half human.
He is half vampire,
half
human.
The bullets is the weird thing.
He's a legend. He's a legendary, like, he's a boogeyman.
Oh my God.
They all know about him.
First off, there is no. Okay, can I say the one thing that I always found weird about Blade? There is no justification for his haircut.
What are you talking?
Gerard, I was thinking same thing. Like, I was like,
"There's what? Like,
I would love to see him at his barber. Like what's going on?
Like, what? Like, there's no reason.
A little point, a little tip.
Well, I'm saying, like, why can't he just have a normal fade?
Well, that's what he likes.
But other vampires don't have weird haircuts. Every other vampire look normal as shit.
Well, they don't look normal. They look like freaking gothic freaks.
Well, there are goth people in everyday life. I walk past two coming
right,
here.
Right.
And it's summertime, and them motherfuckers had on jackets.
But Blade is cool.
But wait, can you guys imagine Blade going to the barber, and he's like, yeah, man, so I want it to poke out of the top. And then I want like a lower line fade. Like I want the part.
What is it?
Yeah. Do a V in the back.
Does he go to a regular barbershop? Is Blade going to Harlem? You know what I'm saying? Does Blade have like a Dominican dude in Harlem just cutting his hair?
He probably shaves himself.
You think Blade does his own shape up? Blade ain't doing his own shape up. Is he doing it with the sword, the katana?
Maybe Whistler used to do it, and then
bro, Whistler is not giving Blade a fade.
Yeah, there's no way Whistler was doing that.
Yo,
if
I found out Whistler was giving Blade a fade, I'm with James now. Blade has lost his black card, bro. You ain't telling me Whistler giving him a fade.
If they would have kept Homegirl. If they would have kept Homegirl in the movie, it would have been cool to just see her like with a clippers. Like, you want me to just
yo, that's
go
love.
Clean you up before you go out?
Show me that black love.
Here's my other question: What were these other vampires thinking when they rode off on the motorcycle and then just turned around to just charge Blade with?
They thought they were going to win.
How?
They thought they were going to win.
They literally had zero weapons.
They were
going to run him over with a motorcycle.
They're going to run him over, bro.
They couldn't even run over another vampire.
Also,
a vampire would have jumped out of the way.
Also, one of them tried to go away, but then Blade just caught him. And I was like, how did Blade just catch this fucking...
Well, but both of them already turned around to come back. And I was like, what do y'all think you're about to do? He just killed literally all of your friends.
Yep.
All of
just
them.
Just leave.
Really easily, too. Like, not even kind of just... Like, also, they know about the legend of Blade walking into a club filled with vampires and killing all of them.
True. He killed, it's 2 years later. They
killed
know.
A room full of, like, 100 vampires.
Yeah. If Austin Powers has taught us anything, if you don't have a name, you probably going to die. We don't know who you
anyway,
are. You got no name. The only thing that made me laugh is that when Blade catches one of them and he's torturing the dude, I guess, whatever, for information, the guy goes, he killed himself. He killed himself, but he had already turned. So they literally tried to tell you, this is the first thing of like how they tried to explain that Whistler wasn't dead. It's like, he was bit, So he already was a vampire before he shot himself.
Right.
And I'm like,
so it didn't work. It didn't keep.
Come on.
That was a pretty weak justification.
Come on, guys.
But whatever. It literally was a thing where I was just like, I'm just going to buy it. I don't care. Yeah. I'll buy it. Just like, we want him in the movie again. I get it.
Also, Blade just found him in the next scene. Dude just gave up.
No, for sure. It was a very clear, like, guys, we're going to do this and use it as an excuse for an action scene, but we just want him back in the movie.
Yeah, let's just get Whistler back.
Like, also, it wasn't it was like, I've been hunting him for 2 years, and it was like,
all right, cool, you got him.
And then you just got him, like, seemingly very easily.
Also, I want to shout out Wesley Snipes' Blade work, because when he cuts Whistler out of this, like, thing,
mm-hmm.
he doesn't just cut him out. He takes out his blade, does a little spin move, then slices them, and then the blade is back in the thing. Right. I was like,
I guess we're also supposed to believe that the reason that Blade found him was because they wanted him to find him.
True.
Right. He was somehow. I don't fully understand how this plan worked, but like he was his weakness, and therefore, even though they never actually used him as the weakness,
do vampires get cold? Like, why was he got a leather trench coat?
What?
Like, why does Wesley wear a coat if he don't get cold?
And because he looks cool.
Because he's Blade, man.
I'm just saying, but like,
it's all just the look. It looks dope.
Could you imagine seeing a black dude on the train with leather pants, leather coat, and a bulletproof vest?
I'd be scared.
Like, where is this whole nigga point. Going?
Yeah.
But also, yes, though, right? Isn't the blood like? Isn't vampires would be cold?
They are cold blooded.
But do they get cold? Because other vampires have on. Okay.
I have no idea. Right, they can't warm up in the sun, so.
Also, is it weird that Dixon's in? This is my thing about this. If they're going to get rid of the black woman, why do they have to get Dixon? Couldn't that just been a black character? No, I'm not calling him Norman Reedus, John.
No, his name is Dixon. Norman Reedus.
Okay.
I mean, Dixon, good God, at least freaking call him. Wait, what is his name?
Call him Malik?
No!
Daryl?
At least call him Daryl.
Yeah.
Goodness.
Wait, who is Dixon? Why did I call him a Dixon? Who character is that? I thought I was calling him Daryl the whole time.
No, you weren't.
Isn't his name Daryl Dixon? Isn't that the character's full name?
Maybe Dixon was part of
it. Did you just pull out his last name?
You did. You pulled out his last name. His last name is Dixon.
Oh, really?
I didn't even know this. I'm a huge Walking Dead fan.
Oh, man. I used to watch
Daryl
Walking Dead.
Dixon.
I used to watch it.
You read the comics, though.
Yeah, but he's not in the comics. And I stopped watching
Daryl's not in the comics?
Yeah, Daryl's not in the comics.
No.
Made up
isn't
for the
show. Isn't that crazy?
He's made up for the show.
He's like one of the best characters on the show.
My thing about
he's
it
my
is
favorite
I, used
character.
I used to love it until they whitewashed the governor. I'm going to bring it up on every episode that I talk about Walking Dead, is that the governor was a Mexican guy. So, fuck y'all.
That's crazy.
They made him a British dude.
The actor was fine. Like, no offense to the actor, but it was like, it wasn't like a thing where you're like, oh no, they had to get this guy.
Yeah, it's like you could have had a Mexican guy.
Easily.
It makes no sense. Weird. Whatever. Just like T-Dog not talking until he's time for
him
to die.
Oh, man, don't even talk to me about that. T-Dog.
T-Dog didn't have
that. That was a good episode, That was a good episode.
I remember I remember watching that and being like, hey, yo, T-Dog is talking too much.
Absolutely. I was like, oh, he's. All of a sudden, T-Dog is a real character.
Yeah, why are we talking about T-Dog? He's dead. He died in a gruesome way. Anyway, we digress.
In a gruesome way.
Oh, God.
Everybody.
Why Hollywood got to do this to the black man?
Everybody on that show died.
No.
Now, Blade
everyone died, but T-Dog got messed up.
Well,
okay.
I mean.
He got messed up, and it was.
Hey, yo, Glenn got messed up.
Because Glenn was Asian.
Glenn died like 3 times.
You know what I'm saying?
Remember when Glenn died 3 different times?
Yeah. And my thing is, you know what Walking Dead is trying to tell you. You know, don't get me started.
Okay, now.
You know
Blade
what?
Two.
No. Okay.
Yeah, that second time, we like see it. It looks like Glenn. He's dying. We like see Glenn die. Yeah. We like see him
we
die.
We see him die twice.
Yeah, but,
twice?
But the third time they actually did
we
it based
see him die
on
twice
the
gruesomely.
Yeah, which is terrible. Honestly, you can't be a person of color on The Walking Dead, bro.
Now it's time to talk about Blade 2.
Remember
we're
when everybody
barely
hated Chris
out of the
died?
Beginning of this movie.
Remember when everybody hated Chris die and he died in a messed up way? It's like, oh, come on, bro. All right, I'm done.
When everybody hates Chris dies, it's horrible.
I can't believe that he died.
He died in a messed up way. He died because the
Glenn
other dude was,
saw him die.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Glenn witnessed him die in a horrible way.
He died. He's like pushed up against the glass.
It's terrible,
right?
Dude. It's
yeah,
terrible.
That revolving
door. It's so bad. I stopped watching that show after Glenn. I was so
oh,
mad.
Me too.
Same here. I stopped watching after Glenn.
Well, that's not true. I watched the rest of that season, but it was like when that happened, I was like, I don't think I could watch much more of this. And I watched the rest of that season.
I did the same thing. I went back.
I didn't.
Yep, I did the exact same thing.
Don't give me that.
Now,
Blade 2.
So he gets Chris Christopherson.
Is there another black person we can talk about Walking Dead?
Well, there. Oh, I thought you were going to talk about Blade because there is another black. Because we meet Daryl, Norman Reedus. And he's the one who's been helping Blade with like some tech stuff or whatever. We know, and then like
that dude could have been named Jamal. Could have been a black dude named Jamal.
Sure, it could have. But then like two vampires come in. They're wearing all black. They got masks on. They're doing some ninja stuff.
Yo,
they're like
this fight scene with Blade doing like the sword work when he's like just knocking. He's just lifting up one leg and just backing up. I'm like, yo, Wesley is too cool, bro.
This was real.
Yo, the sword isn't even, it's still sheathed.
Yes, it's
like,
still
sheathed. Like, he's just, and one hand, his other hand behind his back.
So disrespectful.
He exerts no energy.
And then when the other one comes, he just takes it out and fights with, like, the whole, what do you call the thing that Blade goes into?
Sheath.
A sheath? Mm-hmm. Like, he fights with the sheath and the sword. I'm like, my man Blade is too smooth, bro.
He's dope. And we find out he's fighting another black dude.
Who doesn't talk too much?
I know it sucked. Like when I first, I was like, "Oh, this is awesome!" And then he wasn't really much of a character, and then he died in a dumb way.
Died in a super dumb way, man. Ugh, whatever.
In what I've,
yeah, no, it was very dumb. It was like also how we've seen those creatures behave. It was like, why are all five of them on him? Like all five of
also,
them.
John, you're absolutely.
We don't
right.
need
Danny they made, John Jules.
They made vampires so weak in this. Like vampires were like. Not vampires.
Right. And the thing that was hard about it was that if you want to show, if you want to be like, no, these new vampires are so strong, they make vampires look like humans. Cool. But what you need to do is just give me one scene where a vampire is toying with a human being. One scene. Vampire is toying with a human being, jumping, doing whatever, clearly like out, like has so much more strength than this human being. And then introduce this new vampire and then mess up that vampire who we were all just scared of. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then we go, oh, this dude's super powerful. But because they start off, we were just like, oh, I guess they're just, I don't understand. Like, they,
yeah.
Like, I also, anyway, whatever, we'll get to this. So,
when they, yeah.
So then they're like, look, basically, there's this new vampire that's affecting other vampires. You gotta come, you know, it's this new strand of vampirism, and if you don't do anything, all the vampires will die. And then he's like, well, that sounds like that's good for me. And then he's like, and then they'll come out to the humans, and then all the humans will die, and the whole world will be these, like, mutated freaks that are so thirsty, and they can never stop. And then he's like, all right.
Yeah, then they call dope fiends, too. I'm like, damn.
And so, and also we learn that, you know, Whistler doesn't like Scud. And there's no real reason for it other than just, like, you know, machoism and, like, Scud being like, hey, respect me. And Whistler's like, no, I don't know who you are, and I started this, and I don't like you. And Scud's like, I don't know, something's up with Whistler. And he's right, because Whistler is acting weird, and then that's never really explained other than to just be like, we were tricking you. Whistler wasn't weird the whole time. It really was Scud.
They just omit stuff so that it seems like he's being weird, but I think everything's explained though, right? Like when he doesn't like Daryl, he doesn't, and I get it, he shouldn't like Daryl. Daryl was a fuck, right? And then and then he like disappears, but the reason that he disappeared was because he actually was like, I feel like every weird thing that he did ended up being explained. They just omitted it from the movie to confuse us.
Right.
Yeah.
And then what else happens? Oh, right. So the woman is Leonard Varela. She is from Chile. Oh. So she's Chilean. Very cool. She played Nisa.
Did you just say she's from Chile? She's Chilean? Yeah. What else would she have?
Shut up. Then we have the Blood Pack crew. You got Ron Perlman. You got Donnie Yen.
Yeah, Donnie.
And Donnie Yen was awesome in this movie.
Yeah, Donnie.
They should have used him more. I know. You got some dude called Daz Crawford who played Lighthammer. Some dude named Tony Curran who played Priest. Matt Schultze who played Chupa.
All right, well, those are the guys died very quickly, so I don't remember any of them.
When you download the Kroger app, you have easy access to savings every day. Get the most out of weekly sales and receive personalized coupons toward your favorite items, all while earning one fuel point for every dollar spent. Because shopping at Kroger, whether in-store or online, is easy. And saving money is even easier with the Kroger app. So get the most value out of every trip, every time. Download the Kroger app now to save big. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Must have a digital account to redeem offers. Restrictions may apply. See site for details.
Hey, this is Tim Heidecker, and I'm glad to be back in Glendale, California, in the studio with my good friends DJ Doug Pound and Vic Berger for another episode of our podcast, Office Hours Live. This week we had a very special guest, Hiss Golden Messenger, who played a beautiful tune for us. We laughed, we had fun, and you should tune in to Office Hours Live this week, and quite frankly, every week on your podcast app of choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live.
So the first kind of major scene is... Oh, also we have like... We see a scene with like the father of Nisa, and he looks like Nosferatu, and we know something's up.
Yeah.
We don't know what.
I really liked this scene. I really liked that, like, the clear worst people on the planet is like a really old, bald, white dude. He's completely white. And then with him is a blonde, bespectacled, like, was he Swedish or like lawyer dude? Like, it was just the perfect image for the villain.
I also liked the
of Blade.
I also liked the line, "You're human, barely. I'm a lawyer."
Great.
Yeah.
Great. I was like, okay.
Okay.
All right. I get it. He also looks like the guy from
every movie with Russian villains.
Yep. He looks like what is it? Resident Evil. He's just like the bad guy from Resident Evil. I'm like, oh, okay. I get it.
Interesting.
I get it.
We have a cool set piece with a club where he enters a club and he goes, "Really?" Because it's like a nod to the first movie.
Yeah. I love it.
And there are a bunch of... And this was a cool scene because they had them all square off. And we finally got to see vampires fighting.
Fighting.
And it was like, they were clearly, it was like a hard match, but they weren't just dying like that, which I hate when movies do that. I hate when it's just like all of the things, all like these people you just built up all like get killed in like a second. And that didn't really happen. Like one dude got messed up and eventually died. Another dude got bit. And so he was going to die. But everybody else, like, was able to hold their own in somewhat.
I just kept laughing because of how the what are the names, like the infected zombies? I mean vampires. Like
I don't know
whatever they were called. But every time they showed one in the club, they all had a cool pose. Like there was one that Donnie sees by the door,
right?
And the dude, I kid you not, if you rewind it, the dude does like a little lean and look into the camera, and I'm like, did this nigga just vogue at you? Did he just smize with his eyes before disappearing? So it was cool. And then also, like you said, like when the guy Priest with the longer hair, like, was it Donnie Yen? Well, basically when one of them stabs one of the bad guys, and it just like runs up the wall.
Right.
Like this
shit. That was Donnie,
And my man with the hammer is just hammering this little one and just still getting worked. Whew.
Yeah,
like
I really liked this sequence. It was like, it was also like scary. They were so strong and like that was such, it was a question of like, are any of them going to get, I couldn't remember from before. I was like, oh, do they all die?
Yeah,
right
I thought so too.
Like you were saying, but it was like a longer scene. It wasn't just like, they were getting picked off. It was like, no, they're all fighting and fighting to the last moment as best they can. Yeah. It was crazy.
And I do love kind of what you just said. It's like, I kind of like this hybrid, which I think happened in, not so much in Aliens 2, maybe towards the end of the first Alien, is that this was like an action movie, but did kind of have scary moments a little bit. Right. Like you saw people going in like dark alleys and like certain scenes got really dark and then it would turn into an action scene.
Right.
And also you get this super cool fight between Blade and the bad guy that's in that kind of church thing.
Yeah.
That was, the fights, and I love when fight scenes are in a wide shot. So you can see that it's not super cutty. You can see that the actors had to train for it. You can see like it's choreographed. Also, why are all bad guys martial artists? Does anyone ever notice that in these movies? It's like, oh yeah, of course the other guy knows martial arts as well. I guess he's like a street brawler, but.
Well, the light hammer wasn't. He was a freaking.
Well, I'm talking about like the main bad guy. Like when him and Wesley was fighting, I was like, oh, this man just knows how to do this, like martial arts. Like no one's just like grappling and just trying to.
I got what you're saying. Because it's a movie.
I'm just saying, so you can question.
Because it's a movie.
You can question the vampires at the beginning, but when I question, can they do martial arts?
No, the vampires at the beginning, it made no sense. They were running from the dude, and then they turn around with a motorcycle. They don't even have a weapon or a gun anymore.
This dude just got a coat on looking homeless, but yeah, he knows how to do martial arts against Wesley Snipes?
Yeah, because he's a.
Well, in the logic of the movie, he actually is the son of Nosferatu, so. He actually did learn martial arts.
All right, you know what? All right, John, you and your logic. Okay.
I will also say that a part of what made this scene sequence so scary was Daryl out in the van with no weapons.
Right.
That. And like he seems like to be in the worst shape.
Yeah, true. Also, this whole thing with Whistler, when he vanishes, I was like, all right, this is kind of random. Like, I thought he was going to, like, try to backstab. It would have been more fun if that guy would have been a bad... I don't know. It's just like...
I wish it was something, but it was nothing.
It pointless.
I mean, it was just a trick, but I hated the trick because I didn't understand. Let's just talk about it right now. What was the plan? What was the plan with him? Was it a backup plan? How long was he pretending to be with Wesley? From the jump?
I don't know.
How long was he a familiar?
Tuesday?
Because my thing is, what? They could have. I don't understand.
Since like Tuesday, bro.
How did him being a part of their crew help anyone other than Ron Perlman with the bomb? And it didn't even help. But like, how was that enough to risk everything? You know what I'm saying? What did he do? How did he help stop them? He didn't.
No. Nope.
And then...
No, the only thing they did was the bomb, I guess,
the
right?
Only thing was the bomb, but even the bomb, it was like, he also just didn't have to make the bomb. And he was like, I made it so that you felt in control. And I was like, but Blade felt in control even before.
Yeah.
He agreed before you said, I have this technology that's a little bomb that you can put in one of these dudes' heads. Also, he just put it in one of their heads. Like, he could have killed that dude, and then he still would have been trapped.
Yeah, facts. Never makes sense.
Also, so then we're to believe that Blade knew.
The entire time.
The entire time. And then I was like, well, if you knew the entire time, then why didn't you use that information? The only thing you did was reprogram this bomb, and then you just wasted by killing him? You could have killed him at any time.
So here's why.
You didn't even use that bomb to try to escape.
True.
I don't think that any of this made sense either. I like 100% agree that it didn't make any sense. But a consistent theme of the movie was that people were underestimating Blade the whole movie.
Right.
Like,
I like that.
Like they would just like every time you thought you got one up on Blade, you didn't. So I feel like just an excuse to have one more moment where that happened before the movie.
For sure. I mean, it was like a moment where you're like, oh, and then, when that happened, I was like, wait, time out. My man programmed this bomb so that he would click it once so that they thought, no, I reprogrammed it. And then he goes, no, I actually reprogrammed it. And he clicks it again and it explodes.
Guys, instead of just being like,
you know what I'm saying?
Just being like,
don't make me think that you trust me. Don't make me think that you on my side. I'm going to check and see for real. I'm gonna let him have egg on his face or whatever it is that.
First off, Blade is a black dude with a weird fade who's half vampire, half human. And y'all wondering why he didn't do something with the bomb?
Come on. Why didn't he
do
something?
No, I get it. I get why he did something with the bomb.
Why didn't he do something with the bomb? He easily could have been like, oh,
because,
you bastard.
Look.
And then he's just like,
he saved
I'm going to do
Daryl's
something to you. He's
life.
Like, really, how? And then he goes, I knew you were this the whole time. Beep, blows him up. People go, whoa. And then he just starts killing people. But no, he just blew him up. And they're just like, all right, well, we didn't care about that dude anyway. He was just a stupid human.
You know what?
Oh, you're
and
right.
And then why didn't
that
they kill
true.
Chris Christopherson? What were they waiting for?
They just beat him to death. I'm like, why did I just punch him?
Why?
Just kill him.
He already got beat up. What are you waiting for?
He just beat him
up. I know. This is what actions movies, they do this all the time. But my thing is, Austin Powers already skewered everybody in 1999.
I agree.
So after a comedy completely calls movies out for this bullcrap, you can't just do it again 100%. And have no justification for it.
It's so funny because I feel like I brought that up on this episode too, where it's like, hey man, let's just shoot him now. Yeah. Like Scotty's like, I got a gun in my room. Let's just shoot him.
Let's just shoot him now. What are we waiting for? Like, let's go do it. We could do it together. It'll be a nice father-son bonding
let's
moment.
Just do it.
No, what don't you understand, Scotty?
Like, let's just.
I have a slowly elaborated, very easily escapable plan, and I'm going to just not watch it. Assume it just happened. What's the point? What's wrong? One of the best. Oh
hilarious.
My God.
Hilarious.
Oh, so funny.
But then we get back to the Blaze hat out.
I loved how he unlocks his like handcuffs, and then he's just like, haha, I'm gonna get this guy. And then also. Speaking of vampires being weak, he unlocks his handcuffs, and I was like, "And
wait, who unlocks the handcuffs?
Freaking human being!
Who unlocked the handcuffs? What part are you on?
Whistler.
Whistler does.
Whistler unlocks his
handcuffs.
He picks his handcuffs, unlocks them, and then at some moment he like punches Ron Perlman in the face and like knocks him out. And I was like, "How did he do that?
Oh, wait, okay.
To escape.
Yeah,
he
right.
like knocks Ron Perlman out.
Takes the blade.
How?
Also, something that makes me mad in this movie is that, and we learned in Blade 1, is that Blade's katana has like...
It's dipped in silver or,
yeah, but
or
it also
garlic
has like,
or...
Yeah, but it also has a button so like if the wrong person holds it,
right.
like the spice come up.
Right.
That shouldn't happen to Ron Perlman.
Well, they showed him open up the thing.
Oh, gotcha. I mean... Also,
yeah, that kind of made me mad too, but not for the reason that made you mad. It made me mad that he had affected it so that it doesn't do that anymore, because that was the coolest thing.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, so then, sorry, what were you going to jump to?
No, what you're saying makes
just
sense.
Just the dude coming, and then so the son. So then we find out that it was like, it was his son.
Oh, cool. Whatever.
Which.
Fine.
Doesn't I mean that's the secret that he tells.
So the bad guy's not a real bad guy, I guess, that we're doing.
It's like, but he is.
Well, I liked that because the fight scene that they have earlier is like so long and he's not killing him. And I'm like, why isn't
right.
he? Well, he could just kill Blade. Why would
and
he,
why didn't
if,
he kill her?
If,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And if he's really going to, you know, the vampire said to Blade, like, he's going to just start eating humans. And if that's really what he was going to do, then he doesn't need to get Blade on his side at all. He has no reason to do that.
Yeah.
So I liked that
I liked
there ended
too.
Up being some other reason.
I liked it, too.
I thought it was
weird
fine.
That they were like, well, lucky for us, he doesn't know this location. And I literally was like, wait, time out. That's your security?
Also,
your whole security is he doesn't know the location? He's not dead. What are you going to do about this guy when he comes after you? Even if Blade didn't escape and lead him there, what were they going to do? Also, he's the son. How does he not know about this location?
But there's only one problem I have, even on top of that, is at this point, at the end of the movie, we still don't know how to kill this dude. Except for,
they
like,
do
sunlight.
Know. They
except
know
for
it's sunlight.
Sunlight. But I'm like, cool.
And none of the vampires, I guess they none of them have sunlight bombs or anything.
Yeah, they wouldn't be able to make it.
Which I'm like, do vampires not fight each other?
No, man. They're a peaceful people. They only fight werewolves.
Is that true?
Yeah, lycans. Depending if you believe in the underworld.
Underworld.
I hate that they call them lycans. Just call them fucking werewolves.
Lycans.
And also in lycans,
no.
One thing I noticed.
No. Lycans.
Also, did anyone notice?
It's very cool.
Is that in underworld, there are no black vampires, but most of the lycans are people of color, except for the leader lycans who happen to be white.
Oh, that's just some bull crap.
Just saying.
You're right about that. That's stupid. And
I didn't notice that.
Stupid,
but damn.
And I hate it.
Just saying. The only white lycans are Martin Sheen.
That's stupid and I hate it.
Or Michael Sheen, whatever his name is.
So then what happens is because he knows the location, he gets in. Literally, the vampires are like, "Welp, we can't do anything."
I'm gonna run.
He kills everybody.
Yep.
He gets shot 1,000 times. It doesn't affect him whatsoever. Nope. Again, why are we using bullets? None of them can lay a punch on this dude. He then starts opening up steel doors like it's nothing. And I'm just like, all right, like, cool. Like, there's even a moment where Nosferatu dude is like, he can't get in here. And then he just immediately gets in.
Yep. it makes no
sense.
I was
like, why did you think that he couldn't? So he's the one who actually helps Blade escape. I mean, Whistler does, but like it's because everybody's dying. And so then Whistler helps Blade escape, and then Ron Perlman fires a gun, and then Blade drops because he's really hurt, and then he drops into the pool of blood. And we know from the first movie, once Blade drinks that blood, he goes full vampire. Which,
okay, so here's the thing,
come
though.
Come on, baby,
here's
full vampire. What you about to say?
Okay, I mean, I know, I get it. Being a vampire is the source of Blade. Being a daywalker is the source of Blade's powers, right? But I gotta say, okay, with the thinking about him being a one of the good ones analogy that they might be making here, right? This is the equivalent of a superhero that thrives on crack. Like, they have to do a line of crack.
Honestly, you're right. They say
before,
like,
before a battle, and then they're a superhero. Like,
also,
it's so muddy.
The movie removed all of the stakes from the first movie about him not wanting to bite her to go full vampire, because if he goes full vampire, he will always thirst after blood, and the serum doesn't work. But like, the movie is just like, no, we already did that in the first one. Yeah. It's not a problem anymore. And I was like, why isn't it a problem
anymore?
But
he gets drenched in blood, though. First off, I was like, cool.
Also, I loved Ron Perlman slowly walking away confidently because Blade fell from a second story thing into a pool of blood. I was just like, think you finished him?
He's a vampire still. Like, he still is a vampire.
I mean, it looked cool, but it was just hilarious.
It was like, he's a vampire. I'd have been like, and also, when all the goons came, whatever.
I did also like Ron Perlman going, like, my daddy always used to say, if you want something, like my daddy said, like the day my mom died. Like, my daddy said before he killed my mom. If you want something done right, you got to do it yourself. You know, this also reminds me, Slice.
Just straight up. With ease.
That was cool. I like that.
I mean, we get to the end. You know, the bad guy bites the girl, kills the dad. They have a fight with Blade. And then somehow Blade... This is my problem. How does Blade know to take that blade and put it between...
Well, because they had a scene where they, like... She did an autopsy.
They did it. Yeah.
Okay.
They did. Right. They actually set up.
Okay. All right.
But
well.
The thing that I didn't understand was like, what? Wait. So you guys are together and now you're fighting each other? Like, and then why did he kill his sister? Like, was it just because of that one line where she's like, he always
makes
liked
no sense.
You more? And I was like,
he spared her before.
You spared her before. Like,
yeah.
And now she's
like
on your
the
side.
Dad, for whatever reason, Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, but no, I was just saying, like, now she's on his side. So, like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the dad, for whatever reason, was like, you know, he'll kill both of us. Like, that was, he had said that also.
And she said, I
know. So, like, before, like, and then I guess the reason was that they had a sordid childhood. But, okay. Like, it didn't have a lot of weight to it. Like, it was like it was kind of a petering out of an ending.
Because we didn't know that she had a brother this entire time.
Yep.
She never talked about, like, there was never, like, a thing where she was like, you know, ever since my brother died, I've been blah, 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 blah. Like, it would have even, you know what would have been cool? If her dad told her that Blade killed her brother.
Damn, you should write movies.
Thank you.
That would have been dope. So she,
that would have been so great. Cool.
You would have added so much stakes to this entire movie, because then there's tension between her and Blade, and where she, like, hates him, but she has to work with him and then learns to respect him or whatever. And then you have a climactic thing at the end where she's like, I thought you died or whatever. And then the brother says, you abandoned, like, you gave up hope. You just believed his lies. And, like, she fights him, and then she gets bit, and then Blade saves her. And then that's why he kills him. Like,
yeah, John, that's a better movie. So what are you doing? It's a better movie. Yeah, you're me. You just made a better movie. Honestly, that was
not even changing that much. It's
honestly,
just,
that would have been great.
It's like all the pieces were there. You just had to connect the dots.
That would have been great. And then that would have made more sense for Blade to carry her out to the sun.
And then the last thing I'll say is, like, I just think it's funny that she, like, peacefully gets eviscerated by the sun.
Yep.
I was like,
no, that made no sense. That made me really upset.
I was like, and in every moment in both this movie and the last movie, when a vampire touches sunlight, it burns like a mother. They're just like, ah!
Yep.
Even and she's just like,
He even has a moment where he tries to caress her cheek a little bit more and, like, further digs his hand into her cheek.
Yeah.
It's like, why? And she looks
so peaceful.
Like she's getting lulled to sleep.
Yeah.
She's literally getting obliterated.
Yeah.
She's being burned to death.
She's been doing it peacefully, though. You know, can I do something?
Go ahead.
Something I haven't done in a while, but. This movie deserves a swirl.
Woo!
This movie deserves a swirl, man. This movie deserves a swirl. No, people are like, Drew, I thought you hate the swirl.
God.
And you know what?
No.
And you know what?
No.
I normally do hate the swirl.
What?
But something about this movie, I'm
What's
like,
happening?
Something, about this, something about this movie is like, so you got Wesley Snipes in the peak of his physical being.
Yeah,
you have this
true.
Beautiful woman from Chile.
Yeah.
Who the movie's forcing to be his love interest, but you don't see them do anything loving except for him holding her at the end.
That's
and my
true.
Question is, why do we do that?
Right.
Is it because this is a studio movie and this woman, even though this woman is a person of color, it's not a black woman. So it's like, you know what? And the black woman, Westy can't have, Westy, no. This black dude cannot touch anybody who's not a black woman.
Yeah.
But we're too disrespectful to put a black woman in this movie.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if you're going to put this other woman of color in this movie, why can't Blade have a little bit of love?
Right.
So I have a situation where the love scene could happen.
Here we go.
All right. So there's a point in the movie. All right. When Blade is up there, he's shooting up his drugs. He's shooting up his blue drugs. She walks in and she sees him. She's disgusted, right? They know each other now. She's like, I know who I am, right? You don't. And Blade should have took it out, right? She took it out. I'm like, I know who I am, and I'm doing this to be me. And she walks up on him because she's smart. The thing is, she's smart. She's like, no, you're hiding who you are, okay? You're one of us and you're one of them. You're something better. Okay, you're something better than us. And he's like, damn, you are right. I respect what you're saying. And you know what? I think you're pretty. And he should have said pretty too, because Blade's an old dude with a fade and wears leather and glasses. And she'd be like, why thank you. I think you're handsome. Is this your bedroom? Because technically
it was.
Technically it was. It's like, is this your bedroom?
Why is she asking him that?
Like, I think I'm gonna get there. Like, this your bedroom? He's like, yeah. And she's like, you know what? I'm a young woman, and I can do what I want. And right now, I want you. And Blade's like, you know what? I respect you enjoying sex as us men do as well, but the stigma also says that, you know, women can enjoy sex, but you're like, fuck that. You don't adhere to those things, and neither do I, because I respect you, and I say we get down with it right now. And Blade don't have no bed, right? So Blade don't have no bed, if you notice, when he's in that little dojo room. he got the button for the curtains. Either he closes the curtains, mm-hmm. right? Because you know she can't be in daylight because she'll burn up and die. So he presses the button and makes the windows go down, right? Mm. But then also
Blade can see in the dark.
Yeah, but Blade got another button.
Nope.
Blade plays on because you know it's Wesley. So Blade puts on some Ozzy Brothers, and she's like, "Oh snap! I know what this is." He's like, "Do you?" She's like, "Yeah, I'm 2,000 years old. I know a little bit of everything." Oh, okay. And Blade's like, "Damn, I'm only 50, but thank you, baby. Let's do this." And they have passionate vampire love on the floor. But then because they're vampires, they can bounce all around the room and they have a little fun with it. It's like they have a little bit of sex on the ceiling. You know what I'm saying? Because that's
hanging
fun.
Hanging upside down.
Yeah, yeah, just a little sex on the ceiling. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
And Blade does that because Blade is a man who can be sexual.
That's
you know
true.
What I'm saying? He's the hero who can be sexual. Every other superhero got love interest, you know what I mean?
That's
Batman
true.
Had a different one in every movie. Why can't Blade?
He did. Tobey Maguire kissed somebody upside down.
Upside down in the rain. You know how stupid that is? Rain getting your nose. He could have died.
Okay.
Because he could have drowned.
That's not true.
The rain could have gotten his nose. He could have drowned.
If anything, he would have just snorted it out.
He could have drowned.
Okay.
All right.
Sure.
All right. You know what I'm saying? And he didn't even ask her if she wanted to kiss. Well, I guess she took it upon herself. But my point is how come Blade?
All right. I think that's good.
Did
we're good.
I'm just saying. I just think Blade could have did it.
Well, yeah, so. James.
You guys.
Yes.
As we've all seen Blade 2, right?
Yeah, we're reviewing it.
I'm not even going to answer that question.
Yeah, we just reviewed it, so.
No, so, okay, wait. So I was thinking, right? I was thinking about it. So, like, Blade is like a superhero, and, you know, like, he's the daywalker, so he can come and go into a lot of different places, and like but he has this thing where he needs to do blood. He needs to
James,
blood.
What is happening?
You know, it's you might even say that it's like he's like addicted to the blood.
Yeah,
it's like an addiction.
Yeah, he is because he needs it to survive.
He needs it to survive. He needs the blood to survive, but he's like addicted to it. Like,
why do you keep saying addicted?
He needs. Because I realized something. I realized that, is Hancock a good movie? Have you guys seen that? Because Hancock...
Because
it's connected to Hancock. Because is it good? Because Hancock, he needs to drink alcohol at the beginning of it. You know what I mean? Like, is it good? That's my question.
I will play along. James, Hancock is not a good movie. It will never be a good movie.
What?
I don't think Will Smith likes Hancock.
It's not.
Are we done?
But also, in thinking about the addiction thing, Gary was on to something when he was talking about New Jack City being a prelude or spiritual.
All right,
sequel,
I'm just gonna go ahead and cut
John
this.
John is so mad.
Because they're doing blood crack. Did you guys see
them
do blood crack
blood
at the beginning
crack.
Of the movie?
I'ma just.
Did you see it? They actually did. They were like, it was like red crack. Did you see it?
Hey, John is so frustrated.
And then,
I am cutting this with
James,
the Blade
I love
too.
It. I have fun. I did. I love it.
Okay.
Okay.
All
cool.
Right. I'll text Gary.
Okay. It's time for the cause.
Cool.
We rate and review films.
Yep.
Not based on how much we like them.
Nope.
Or whether or not we think, this was made pretty well.
Yeah.
We base it on whether or not. It helped the cause of more leading black actors in Hollywood.
Why are you staring me in my eyes like I'm about to make a mistake or something?
The cause.
Okay, I heard you, dude.
Three ratings.
Okay.
A black fist.
Right.
Means it fully helped the cause.
Who are you pointing at?
A white palm means, it kind of helped the cause.
Yeah, so I get you.
Nothing. Yo, this didn't help the cause.
You didn't have to move your hands under the table because no one could see it but me.
On the count of three. Gonna throw up our ratings.
All right, I'm ready.
One.
You know what? 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1. You doing 1, 2, 3. Got you. Okay, I'm ready.
2.
Okay.
3.
I don't trust James. It got 2 black fists in here, James.
You know, you shouldn't trust me because I gave it a black fist, but I almost gave it a white palm.
I felt like you were.
Explain
I thought
yourself.
One of y'all were.
No, we did. 3 black fists. Go ahead. You first, sometimes James. Mother's trying to skate uphill.
Yeah, I'll start because I did almost give it a white palm. I mean, I gave it a black fist because this is Blade motherfucking 2. It's a with sequel that. To the first Blade movie. Came out 4 years later, so that's a little late, but...
it's not that late.
You know,
that's
and
how
it's
long a sequel should take.
4 years later. 4 years?
That's how it used to be. It used to freaking not be like you come out with a sequel every 2 years. Goodness.
Yeah, I'm about that. I'm about that life. I don't want the movie to be complete. Oh, I don't want the sequels to be complete. but, you know, and, you know, Wesley led it. And, you know, it's good for black people to see black heroes.
This is true.
Now, I'll say that the reason that I almost gave it a palm was because Karen is not in this movie.
It's rude.
And for no reason.
It's no
There's
reason.
No reason yeah. for her to not be in this movie. And they brought back Kris Kristofferson. He's a fun character, but he also didn't need to be in
and
this movie.
And he died.
He didn't need to be in this movie at all. He died. So, you know, so I almost gave it a palm for that reason. And then also just all of the other characters that Gerard noticed, like, they could have been black. They definitely could have been.
Yeah.
Or a person of color or whatever. Like, you know, there could have just been way more people of color on this film. So I almost gave it a palm for that reason. But the most egregious of them being the writing out of that character. Like, all those others, it's like, whatever, that's Hollywood. But to write her out is almost like saying that she wasn't important to the foundation of Blade One, and I just of Blade in general, and I just think that she is bigger than that.
Yeah, I hear that.
Yeah,
I mean, I just gave it a fist because it, you know, it's Wesley Snipes sequel, did really well. He got a third one. You know, at the time, it was just like, yeah, man, Wesley Snipes is an action hero. Like, black people can be action heroes. There should be more. And then Hollywood was like. And we were like, oh, did you? I'm sorry, you must not have heard us. We said there could be more. Hello? Yeah. Hello? And then we checked our phones and we realized the call had dropped. And then we called back and it went straight to voicemail. And we were like, what? I don't understand what's happening. And so then we left a detailed voice message and they said, I'm sorry.
This is so elaborate.
The phone number you have reached cannot be connected. And then we were like, oh, I guess we just let down the cold for another 15 years. All right. Anyway, my point is, it got a black.
I'm about to say, that's what was that? I looked off into the distance, came back, and he still was going.
Go ahead.
I literally zoned out for a little bit. No, I mean, to me, it's like, again, I love this movie. I like Guillermo del Toro. I love that, again, this movie was directed by a Mexican guy, starred a black dude. I love that Blade is one of the reasons, and I will say it again, that Marvel Studios is Marvel Studios. Give respect where respect is deserved. It's simple as that, man. It was the height of Blade. There was one shot in this movie at the end where Whistler, bless you, where Whistler is like, Blade's about to go off and fight at the very end. And for no reason, Whistler sees him up top and throws Blade shades. Blade catches them with two fingers, puts them on, and I'm like, he don't need them shades. He don't need them shades.
I forgot about that.
Like, it's a ridiculous shot. But I'm like, you know what? He cool as hell, man. And every time Wesley would deliver a line, he would do a, yeah, like one of those little moments. I'm like, yep. You know what? Go ahead, black man. So I respect that. Loved it. Three black fists. You deserve it, Wesley.
All right. Guys, please rate and review us on iTunes if you can. It's pretty simple. Really helps us a lot, and we would love it if you can. If you go on iTunes, give us 5 stars. We will read your review on the air. Also, we just hit 600 reviews or 600 ratings, which is
600.
600, pretty dope. Pretty dope. Also, you can follow us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website. Mm-hmm. You can follow me at John Braylock, JonBraylock. James?
You can follow me at James Third Comedy. JamesThirdComedy.com. Third is 3RD.
You can follow me at Gerard Milligan on Twitter and Instagram.
Awesome. Here are some reviews. Oh, also, we're still conducting our contest for logos. So if you want to email us, blackmen podcast@gmail.com. And here's the thing, if you want to just say, oh, I have an idea, I don't really have the time to kind of like make the image yet, you know, send us that too. We're down to hear about that or whatever. And
thank you to everybody that has been sending in submissions already. We've gotten a few. They are very fun. Thank you so much. Keep them coming. Yeah.
And you can also email us just for anything else. If you just want to be like, hey, like, I love your podcast, blah, blah, blah. Or like, can you review this film? We love feedback. We love just interacting with everyone. I'm going to read this review here. We got one by Latreia. It's just love. Over the podcast, the transition to the name of the film makes cackle. I think they meant makes me cackle.
Don't count.
Basically, this is just somebody telling me, Jonathan Braylock, that my transitions are so good.
I don't think it counts.
Now,
she didn't say it right.
This is another one by High C Orange, Predator. Love this podcast. Heard you say you won't be doing Predator because it's not a black lead. But have you done the original Predator, 1987, yet?
What, Arnold?
I considered Kevin Peter Hall as at least the co-lead, if not the lead. There's no way that he's is Kevin Peter Hall the Predator?
No, I think she's talking about...
So what about the one with Danny Glover?
Yeah, he's the lead.
The second one stars Danny Glover.
Yeah, we should review that when Predator...
Oh, we should do a Danny Glover series.
We should do a Danny Glover series. All right. Well, I don't know what we're reviewing next. We got to the end of the series.
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
When does the new Predator come out?
Next week, I think.
Well, then maybe let's do that. Let's do Predators.
I think the white dude is the lead, though.
Predator 2?
Oh, Predator. Predator 2. Sorry. I thought you meant the Predator.
Let's do Predator 2.
I can do Predator 2.
All right.
I'm down.
Boom, baby. We got it. Predator 2.
Yeah.
Starring Danny Glover. All right. We'll see you guys next week.
Peace.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, Black Men Can't Jump comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!